And welcome to Match Made in Seven, a new podcast series from North East-based comedy collective Your and Fanny. During one particularly painful megabus journey last year, seven Fannies had the sudden realization there were also seven deadly sins. Megabus madness or cosmic coincidence? In this debut series, we will hilariously probe each of the seven deadly sins and what it means to be a young woman or non-binary person partial to one or more of them. Settle in for a pairing of original sketches and frank chat as we invite you into our Fanny universe, where everyone is in on the joke. Before we start, a heads up, this episode will contain strong language, so don't listen to it in the car with your kids in the back, unless you're a bad parent. Episode 7. Sloth. Hello there, this is Brogan speaking, and today I'll be hosting our final episode of Match Made in 7. I will be joined by...
Jackie.
Matilda.
Emma.
So the sin that we'll be discussing today is sloth, which... personally, I think is the best sin. And to be honest, I'm really excited to be hosting today's episode because I do feel like I can be quite a lazy person, quite sloth-like. So it fits well. So I think let's start today's episode with the definition of sloth. So sloth basically means... the habit of being lazy and unwilling to work. So a slothful person is one who not only doesn't want to work, but is one who avoids it as well and might go out of their way to not do any work.
That sounds quite nice.
Which is apparently bad. The reason that sloth is considered a sin is because it equates to waste. So it's like the waste equals like wasted ability, wasted resources, and overall wasted time. So that's why God doesn't like you if you're slothful. Because you're wasting time on things when you could be loving him.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is
never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
But it's your time a waste, isn't it? If you're just wasting your own time, why am I?
I have something quite geeky to share.
Oh, get jump straight in.
I'll allow it.
Would you like me to share?
Permission granted.
That idea of being lazy, being a sin in like God's eyes is something I find really interesting because it's something I studied quite a bit for my dissertation because I did Jane Eyre.
Of course you did.
You fucking love Jane Eyre.
You love Jane Eyre.
I never stopped banging on about Jane Eyre. bloody love her. But yeah, there's loads in Jane Eyre about utilising your entire day and energy for productive work and that being a way that you are like a good Christian, which it's a very Victorian idea. And I find it so interesting to think that that's so dated, but actually perhaps... that's hung on, even though we're not a particularly religious society anymore, that actually still informs our relationship to work and our relationship to productivity in like the modern day, even though like lots of us, you know, would say that we're like atheist or agnostic.
Definitely does, because I still get like serious guilt if I'm not doing something all of the time, to the point where it's almost quite debilitating, like I'm actually unable to do stuff because I feel so bad about not doing things. And I think you're still definitely rewarded for like working more than you should. And I don't know, there's almost like a sort of bragging culture around working all the time and being really busy and like staying late. And
I was thinking like people are always expected to go the extra mile when like, to be honest, like, they don't have the fucking time. Like, who has the time to do, go the extra mile? Like, they just want to do what they've been set to do and just let them do that. Like, they don't have to always, like, do it with a smile. Yeah. Bring a dance to it. It's like, just let them do what they've got to do.
I find myself doing, like, lots of things at the same time, which means I don't put my all into all of the things. And, like, yesterday I needed to wash my hair, but I also needed to eat my tea and I also wanted to watch this program. So then I just did it all in the bath, which sounds quite nice, but it wasn't, because it was just stressful because I was trying to eat my tea, wash my hair, watch a program that was had subtitles. So it's very hard to do. And
in another
Swedish.
Language, is it?
Swedish. Oh. and like that, I don't know, it wasn't, none of that was relaxing. It was just taking off things I had to do all at once. Yeah. And then I had to draw this picture and I also had to ring my mate. So I did that at the same time, which was, again, really confusing for my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when it's like 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like a word that's thrown around all the time is like being proactive. Mm. Like, I've heard it so many times that I don't even know what it means anymore. I'm like, how can I, like, it's, I feel like I've grown up with that word. It's like, oh, if you want to, especially in the industry that we're in, it's like, oh, well, you know, if you want to do something, you want the next job, you got to be proactive. You got to always be proactive. And I'm like, I don't know like, what that means.
I feel like proactive is also like, you were talking about going the extra mile. Mm. I feel like proactive is very much like that encapsulated. Because for me, being proactive implies like a, you've found a solution. You've been creative about finding a solution, which maybe isn't part of your job description, but you've gone the extra mile and you've been proactive. And and I know exactly what you mean. It definitely seems like society rewards the people who've got the energy and got the time rather than necessarily the people who've, I don't know, maybe if they had a bit more energy and a bit more time would be just as proactive or just as...
Yeah. I think it's not like, I think it's understanding that people can't be proactive sometimes, and it's like there's other factors in their lives that are stopping them from, you know, if someone has kids and the other person doesn't have kids, like the other person's probably going to be able to be more proactive, but it's like, oh well, you know, find the time, put the kids to bed, do the work.
It's like, yeah, it's still that going that extra mile thing, isn't it? I always think something that really has fucked me off in the past with employers is when they try and explain to me that their company runs like a family. There's several things that piss me off about that. Oh, my main thing is all the stuff I do for my family, I tend to do for free. And actually, like, that isn't how work should work. Like, I don't want to work for my family. Like, they expect favors from me. Like, I do my head in. I do it out of love rather than because I'm getting paid. Like, if you're at a job, you shouldn't want them to act like your family. You want them to act like your employers.
Yeah.
And I think people using that as like a selling point to join in, it massively like rings an alarm bell in my head, because I'm like, all that means is that you're going to get me to do more than my job.
Yeah, yeah. There's no boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 without a doubt.
That's interesting. Mm. So I want to ask you as well, because I was thinking about this the other day. Do you guys feel that society in general has quite a warped idea of what being lazy actually is? Because I just think, like, I don't know. It's things like how people, like, spend their mornings. Like, if they just want to, like, get out of bed the last possible minute.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, like, maybe scramble about to get somewhere. But as long as they get there on time, I'm like, But it's like, I feel like mornings are a big thing. It's like, oh, you know, like, start the day how you mean on.
I talk about you all the time, Matilda, about how you get up and go for a swim in the sea. And I'm like, that's an energy I wish I could have, but I never will. And it's very admirable.
But the thing with that is, though, for me, what I like doing that for is that I feel like I've achieved something straight away. And if I don't do anything else for the rest of the day, it's fine. Like, to be honest, it's more of an indulgence and a, like, a get out of jail free card for me. I'm just like, well, do you know what? I've been for a swim in the sea this morning. I can sit here for the rest of the day. And I think because I do tend to feel really guilty when I don't do anything or I'm not being very productive, like, that's something that really helps me alleviate that a little bit, because it's nice. It feels like a bit of an achievement. And yeah, if the rest of my day isn't quite as like up to that level, it doesn't matter so much. Mm. Whereas I think when I don't do that in the morning, I then either really try and compensate for the rest of the day by like doing loads of other stuff, or I just sit and feel shit about myself because I'm not getting loads of stuff done. Yeah. Whereas it kind of gives me some sort of calmness that like actually helps me be more lazy.
Would you also, because I know you sometimes have like trouble sleeping as well. Mm. Would you say that you getting up early and going for a swim is because like you have broken like sleep quite a lot, or is that not related?
It definitely helps.
Mm, yeah.
Because I think the other thing that's really good about it is when I also feel like this when you do yoga, or you know, there's certain things that you could do where the only thing you have to think about at that moment is exactly what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
And I think when I'm in the sea, what I really like is that the only thing that is in my mind is that I'm in the water and I need to like stay afloat, or just
until you get stung by a jellyfish and then your day and, you know, life is ruined briefly.
I can't believe that happened to you.
I know, I've been really wanting to get it into one of the podcasts and you're talking about the sea, so I feel like it's appropriate.
Yes, please do.
I got stung by a jellyfish and had to go to A&E, but I am fine now. I was fine quite fast. Don't put vinegar on it. Or do, actually.
Why did you put vinegar on it?
Well, the woman did.
Oh.
Well, she went and got lots of little sachets from the canteen, cut them up.
In the hospital?
In the hospital. Put my arm in a sick bucket and then just covered it in vinegar and bandages. And then she came back an hour later.
NHS are really struggling.
They really are struggling. She came back an hour later and was like, okay, so that's wrong. We're not meant to do that. And then took it all off and then I just sat under the tap.
But you didn't notice any bad effects from the vinegar, did you?
Well, I started to feel better, but I think maybe it was just because it had been hours.
Yeah.
So I was generally starting to feel better.
Has it all gone down now?
It went down by the next day, although my arm was sticky.
What did it feel like?
Like electric shock over my entire body. And then I'm going to love telling this story. And then my feet cramped and I couldn't stretch out my toes. I had to put my hair in a bobble. What little hair I have had to go into a bobble because I wanted to scratch my scalp off. I was like convulsing in the back seat and my little baby niece was laughing the whole time. And
That's horrible.
Where I'd been stung, all this stuff started coming out of it. Like even when I went home at night, like I had my arm outside the duvet and it was just like gooey. Like all the poison was like coming out of my arm. And like I couldn't speak. I had little pins and needles in my mouth and my eyeballs. And I kept closing my eyes and trying to go to sleep all the time. And everyone had to make me stop doing that.
Oh my God. Tell us about the lineup.
Oh my God, yeah. So the nurse comes in with a laptop and a wheelie thing and it's like, which jellyfish stung you? And there was a lineup of jellyfish and I had to point at which one it was because I couldn't speak. And it was the lion mane jellyfish. Just any listeners out there, beware.
Oh yeah, they're bad.
They're bad. They're one of the biggest in the world. Their tentacles can get to like 30, I'm making this up, 300 meters long. Like, and it was wrapped around me like a fucking flannel.
3 miles long.
3 miles long. And the worst thing is, I was having a little, all that's happening to me right now is, this is where I'm meant to be. This is what's meant to happen. I can hear my baby niece laughing. The wind's in my mullet. It's like, the sun is on my back. And then suddenly, attacked by a sea creature.
Well, cheers, Emma. You've ruined the one thing I do.
Oh, yes. You found the problem in it.
So never go in the sea again, Matilda.
My one outlet.
Emma, you're still going to go in the sea, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I'll just look down more. Yeah. Sorry about that interlude. I'm glad we got it in there.
Bit of a tangent.
I'm so glad.
Going back to mornings on Instagram at the moment, there is a real...
I know what you're going to say.
There is a morning culture, isn't there?
Oh, massively.
There is like an...
It's like competitive morning.
Who's had the best morning?
Who's had the best?
Raise your flat white and coffee in the park.
God, that's so true.
And I'll show you my yoga and homemade granola.
And it's like, I was telling these yesterday, I'm very bad at washing.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As in like, so you know how like... You know how like if you try to get a bend, like go in the bath or go in the shower, it can be like quite a battle.
Mm.
And you're like coaxing them in, like promising them like treats when you get out and stuff. I feel like that's Jackson's like challenge with me. Because
but he has to be like, if you have a shower, you can have a biscuit.
Doesn't Jackson also carry you from the sofa to bed at night?
Yeah, we're getting a serious
insight. Is he your dad?
Is Jackson your dad? Jackie just turns into like a tantrum toddler when she gets home.
Yeah, no, that's a separate thing about napping on the sofa in the evening. But anyway, I'm
so you're not good at nighttime either.
Mornings or night.
It's a 3-hour period in the day when Jackie's alive.
When she's not half dead.
Yeah. But like, yeah, honestly, like I find it so difficult to get a shower in the morning.
Does it not wake you up though?
Mm. You quite like it.
Well, if I actually got in it, yes, it would wake me up. But like the point is that I'm like, I'm just moving at such a slow pace that I suppose if I wanted to get a shower in the morning, I would actually have to get up probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours before I needed
what? To. What? You can have a shower in 2 minutes?
I know. The point is not how quickly I could have a shower. The point is how slowly I move in the morning.
Okay. It takes you an hour and a half to get from your bed to the shower.
I just, an actual sloth. I feel like maybe as an accompaniment to this podcast could be like fly on the wall footage of me in the morning so that people actually understand.
We'll get it done.
so that people
an hour and a half long footage of you walking down your corridor at a snail's pace.
Coming soon.
Yeah, sounds like a bestseller.
But basically my point is like I think I've always been like that in the mornings. And like,
did you struggle for school when you were a kid?
Oh yeah,
I don't think anyone struggled. I was a rare sighting
and registration. Me, like I was the lesser spotted Jackie. In fact, especially in sixth form when lessons, you know, a lot more fun and cash, I would often turn up halfway through first period.
Whoa,
bad.
So this competitive morning culture on Instagram, like I used to feel like, because it's been around for a while, and I used to feel like, God, I'm not a proper person because I can't get up and do exercise. Like
5 in the morning.
Yeah,
I think this is a new thing that's become cool recently, because I remember when we were younger, it was cool to not do anything. It was cool to be hungover all the time and like watch TV and get stoned and eat biscuits. Like that was the thing to do. And nowadays everyone's like, with like muesli and stuff. And I think that's a shame. I do think we've lost
something. I know
what you
mean. It's like, there's much more of a culture of like well-being and health than there is.
Yeah. Like, what are we? Are we millennials?
I think we're a little bit younger.
I'm Generation Z.
Brogan's Gen
Generation
Z.
Generation Z.
But I feel like Generation Zs love, like, they'll get a smoothie and instead of a drink.
Yeah.
And like, go for a run. And I know that's fine, but also I think it's not fine. Like the whole point is you're meant to be like shit for years and then do better, not be good from day one and just keep being good, because then you'll have a breakdown because you'll have nowhere to go.
I do think like it's a difficult conversation, because I think learning more about mindfulness and learning more about like
I'm joking,
let's give it some space, like learning more about mindfulness and learning more about like well-being, and because actually, like, you know, that conversation links into kind of like the conversation we've already kind of started having about like what you do to regenerate your energies and what you do to like kind of recoup your energies. But you know, it can go the other way, because I do sometimes think there's a competitiveness to it, and I think sometimes people feel that they need to keep up with it, whereas actually I think it's just the case that you just need to be honest about when you feel your best and how you feel your best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because like, I'm sure the morning competitive movement, whatever it is, started in, you know, with good intentions. Like it's supposed, and actually part of the point of it is to stop you from rushing in the morning. It's to make you appreciate like that time before you have to do anything. Like, you know, if you are in like early riser, it's nice to do things in your day that aren't related to work. Like, I quite like getting up quite a bit before I have to start work, because otherwise I feel like my entire day has just been sat at my laptop. Yeah. Whereas if I get up and like make myself a nice breakfast and stuff, actually it's indulging like a more relaxing side of my life rather than, but then once that becomes competitive or something you have to do as well as doing work rather than as a counter to it, that's when the problems arise. And I think if you're, you know, a Gen Z who doesn't drink and only eats like food you've grown in your garden and like, like, you know, there's also like an unhealthy obsession with being healthy that like isn't good for you either. Like,
it's quite an image, isn't it? Like an image to keep up.
Yeah. And it is exhausting, like having to be that good at looking after yourself all the time. Like sometimes you're like, actually today what I need is to sit here, not have a shower, not move, like watch the shittest thing I can possibly find on TV. And like, actually that's good for you in some cases. Like,
Going off that, because I know, Matilda, you mentioned feeling guilty about maybe like having a break or taking a day off. Like, do you guys feel guilty when you're like, if you say like, oh, this, I don't know, the Thursday of this week, I'm going to, you know, do absolutely fuck all. I'm going to sit in my jammies. I'm going to watch some telly and I'm not going to do anything productive. Like, have you gotten better at not feeling guilty with age, or do you feel that you've gotten worse?
I think I've got worse. Mm. I think I've got this this to-do list that's just always, always growing. And whenever I have a minute, I look at it to see what I could do every single day, even when I can't be arsed and don't want to do anything. And it's usually big things like get a DBS check, sort out my tax return. And then I look at it and I'm God.
And now that you've looked at it, you must do it.
And then you have to do it. And even though like you just want to have a lie down.
What about you?
I think I'm only good at having a day off when I've like planned it in advance, which is so shit. Like when it's the worst is when I feel really knackered and I've told myself I need to do loads of stuff. And what ends up happening is that I don't do that, but I also don't properly switch off. And that's when I feel really shit. Whereas I think when I like know that I've got a day free or something, I don't feel as bad. It's when I like don't have the energy to do the ridiculous amount of things I decided I was going to do that day.
I find as well, like even when there is a day off, like there is still a pressure to make the most of it. So doing things that are like, but
or even things like you're washing
quite,
and like,
in themselves quite productive. Like, and it's like, instead of, even when you're knackered, you're still like, oh, I've got to make the most of it. You know, I'll go on a nice walk and I'll get some nice breakfast. And sometimes you don't even want to. Like, you just feel like you've got to, when someone asks you, like, how did you spend your day off? You don't want to be like, did fuck all. Like, you want to be like, oh, I had a very cultured day. You know, like, it's weird.
I honestly, oh my God, like, it's, isn't it weird how often things come back to Instagram? But like, I honestly think that like, I took a long time off Instagram over the pandemic. And I think part of the reason I did was because everyone feels so compelled to share every aspect of their life, including their days off. Mm. And to me, I think I needed that break from Instagram for me to realize that actually a day off for me is a day off from the world. It's a day off from like online or whatever. And it's, yeah, it's just completely my own.
Frank's phone, leave a message.
Hiya Frank, it's just Arabella here. I'm so sorry to let you know that I won't be able to make it to work today. It's just I've been feeling completely out of it ever since Mercury went into retrograde last night. It's really affected my throat chakra. I can hardly talk. Not to mention that it's high tide at 10:30 and I'm already feeling the effects. No matter how long I do child's pose for, I just feel really full. I feel like I'm going to explode for the last week. And before you ask, no, it isn't because of the carvery I had last night or the Indians I had the night before. But I am going to get booked in for a hot stone massage just to be safe. Anyway, Juniper's coming over to give me a full body half hunter's moon crystal Reiki cleanse this evening. But the guidance cards I pulled this morning did tell me that I need to keep away from authority, no offence, to relax and let green light enter my wounds. So I do think that it would be best for everyone if I stayed off until I'm back from the lake house. I mean, until Mars leaves Scorpio next Thursday. As you know how I get. I won't be on my phone during this healing period, but if you do need to get in contact with me, my psychic's number is, well, I won't ruin the surprise. Pay attention to your dreams. All right, thanks, Frank. See you next week. Bye.
I would love to delete like Instagram and stuff like that and just not be on my phone as much. But I feel like it's so linked to like work. Like, I feel like in this industry, it's like you have everyone you've ever worked with on social media, and it's like you need to stay in the loop with what everyone's doing and like if you should go see something, if you should go support someone, if like, I don't know, like there's an opportunity that you'd like to go for like writing or acting or something like that. So I feel like if I was to just delete all my social media, which would be lovely, I would just feel the guilt of being lazy because I'm missing out on these things that are only posted on like via their Facebook page or, you know.
It links into that to that advice that you're given when you're first starting out in this industry. It'd always be like some seasoned, like, you know, actor or writer or someone who would be like, oh yeah, if you want to work in this industry, it's a case of you're never off the clock. There's always an opportunity to network. There's always an email you could be sending. There's always, you know, a person that you could be making a connection with. And like,
That
is advice that so many young freelancers get given. And like, it really stays with you when you're like first breaking out into the industry and trying to like, you know, build a career for yourself. And it's damaging because like, don't get me wrong, I kind of get it. Like, you know, you do need to make connections. You without a doubt do. And networking is important. But the idea that you're never off the clock is actually just so damaging. It's so damaging. And like, if you take that to heart, it's really quite hard to shake. And it comes with a lot of guilt when you do try to shake it. And when you do try to just like build a timetable that's a lot more kind of healthy for you. And I think what you were just saying, Brogan, really ties into that.
It's
just like that idea of having to constantly justify your own existence, isn't it? It's like you're just like, I deserve to be alive because I do all these amazing things all of the time, like, and actually, you know, can you not just let us get on with it?
Like, it's like what you were saying there, Jackie, as well. It's like, you know, you gotta send those emails to those people, you gotta like arrange a meeting to meet these people, and the people don't want to be met with, and they don't want to be emailed. Like, they're in the exact same boat. They're just like, I'm off the clock, like, I'm gonna watch Come Dine With Me, like, alone, like, I don't want to do that. And it's like, it is so false because no one,
it's like all schmoozing, isn't it? Like, I remember someone, a woman came in to talk to us at drama school about the industry and stuff, and she was saying like, every play or show you go to see, stay behind afterwards at the bar, make sure you talk to people, make sure you see the actors. And I'm like, most of the time I fucking hate actors, I don't want to talk to them, like, they're annoying and boring. And like,
the play was shit,
and the play was probably shit and I didn't enjoy it, and I don't want to tell anyone that I did, like, it's not real. Like, but I hate that kind of like, oh my God, look how we're all best friends and we're having such a nice time. And like, you know that that's not real. It's not the case. I don't want to network.
It's also quite dangerous because then when you don't, like, if you apply for something and you don't get it, or like for a couple of months or however long it is, you're not as successful as you would like to be, it always puts the onus back on you. And like, obviously we need to take a bit of responsibility about, you know, where we're going and stuff. But also there's so many other factors that contribute to whether or not you get a job, isn't there? Like, you know, a lot of the time it's complete luck of the draw. It's all about personal preference. And sometimes there is nothing more that you could have done to improve yourself in that situation. But because of this attitude of like, you're never off the clock, you've always got to be schmoozing and talking to people and emailing and checking this and that and the other, whenever you don't succeed, it's so easy to then be like, well, it's because I'm crap and I didn't work hard enough, even if that absolutely isn't the case.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, oh, I didn't spend that morning, you know, going the extra mile on my cover letter or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, if only I'd stayed up all night finishing that application instead of going to bed.
Yeah, it's so true.
Do you know something that I've been like shaking off over the past? Shake it off. Do you know something that I've been like?
Whoa.
So like this attitude of like, you've got to like seize the day and make the most out of life and never let an opportunity slip by and live every moment to its fullest. Jesus Christ, it's feckin' exhausting, isn't it? Like, I would force myself to go on like all these nights out, or like, I don't know, just be involved in absolutely everything because that's what living life is, and you never know how short life is and all that. And like, don't get me wrong, that is true. Like, you know, life is short. That's what people say. And, but I find the idea that you have constantly got to be living life to the fullest incredibly exhausting.
Also, like, living life to the fullest might mean staying in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just a different way of looking at it. It doesn't mean you constantly have to be out of the house, like, on the go, like, doing things all the time. Like, actually, there's something really indulgent and lovely about just, like, having a night to yourself in the house.
Yeah.
I can't do that if it's a weekend. And I don't even have weekends because I'm freelance. But the second it gets to Friday and I know that I'm not doing anything, I'm like, I go on a horrible date with someone. Instantly, I'm like, who can I date? Let's go on a date. And then just go on loads of awful dates just to so that I can say that I did something that night. I'm really bad for it. And, like, I'd probably rather just, like, watch... what's that really good? Married at First Sight and lie down.
Oh.
Like, Married at First Sight, eat some pasta and have some wine and lie down. It actually sounds really nice, but if it's a Friday or a Saturday, can't do it. A Friday night I experienced recently, I walked around my commune that I live in and everyone was out, obviously all 50 of them, because it was a Friday. And I went and got a bottle of wine and a takeaway and I sat on a bench close to some homeless people in the hope that they'd talk to me. They did. It was lovely. And then I had company. And that is sad. I would rather sit on a bench until 11 at night drinking a bottle of wine maybe that's nice. Maybe that's a nice thing. Maybe that's nice.
Maybe you're just so much of a people person, though. I think that's
Yeah, but
right.
Did they even want to talk to me? Or was I just desperate? They probably did. They were like, who's that?
I know what you mean, though, because when you're alone because you've chosen to be alone, it's very different than when you just happen to be by yourself and you're like, actually, this isn't, if I had my way, this is not how I'd be spending my evening. Yeah. That is a completely different feeling.
That's true.
I don't think I'd do that.
But we get it.
But I understand where you're coming from.
I have real guilt of sometimes if I need a day in the house by myself, but it's sunny, I'll shut the curtains and I'll pretend it's not sunny.
Really?
But God, if I need to go out and like top up the electric, or I need to like go out and get like...
Top up the electric? Are we in the 40s? How do you do that with your shillings?
Or if I need to go out and get like, you know, a little bit of shopping or something, I can feel so guilty driving past people who are like out with their like buckets and spades and stuff. I live by the coast for a bit of context. or like, you know, people who are out enjoying the sunny day. And like the thing is, like, when I want to go out and enjoy the sun, I will go out and enjoy the sun. But sometimes there are days where like, I need a day inside by myself where I'm like, you know, just watching the telly, you know, doing whatever I want to do. But it's really difficult to remind yourself that that is what you need, despite regardless of what the weather happened to be that day. Mm. You know what I mean? I will feel really guilty for being inside on a sunny day.
I get that though.
Yeah. I feel like when it's sunny, it annoys me more. Because, like, especially if you've got a day off and then you wake up and it's really sunny, like, it just makes matters worse because it's like, oh, well, fucking hell, I'm going to have to do something productive outside now. If I say I was inside all day on a sunny day, they'll be like, oh, why?
Oh, I've got it. I'm now obligated to go out and make the most of it.
Yeah. I was saying that, you know, when you see big groups of people at a pub garden, I'm like, we didn't know it was going to be sunny today. How have you arranged this?
Yeah, I totally get it.
How did you manage to just make this happen?
I want to talk as well about, I think we've mentioned about like being eager in general. But about
lame.
Like,
lame.
But especially when, I don't know, when, you know, you're getting ready to leave school and stuff and maybe you're kind of entering the career path that you're going to be on for a while. You do have this kind of eagerness to please and eagerness to be the first person there and eagerness to, like, I don't know, to do smashing work and do everything right.
Smashing.
Still stuck in the 40s.
I feel like Brogan's got loads of little stickers with smiley faces on that say smashing work. She just gives herself one when she does a good job.
Shit. But I just wanted to ask, like, did you feel a switch at like any point in your life where you were like, actually, like, I don't have to be a yes person anymore. Like, I can now be a no person. Like, I don't have to be that eager to please. Like, I don't have to, you know, like, put myself out there all the time. I can just, I don't want to do it. I want a day off. I'm going to say no. Like, do you feel like you can say no?
No.
I'm struggling with that still.
Yeah, I'm still struggling with that.
I think, well, I've got like two examples. Well, first of all, I got a new job over lockdown where I was working from home and I hadn't met any of the people that I was working with. And the only way that I felt like I could impress them was just by doing loads of hours, because I was like, they don't know who I am. Like, and I think if I'd been in the office with them, it would have been different because, you know, I'd have chatted to them and, you know, won them over with my personality.
It's like the only way you can build up character.
Yeah, it would be like, I'm a hard worker. And that was the only thing that I felt like I could impress them in that situation, was by like just clocking out really late from work. And it was awful because like, and anytime anyone had an extra little job, I was just like, oh yeah, sure, I'll do that. Whereas like, I think if I'd met them in person, that wouldn't have been my only tool to impress them. So I think I learned quite quickly from that. I was like, this is not something that I can continue with. And then when things started to open up again and we were like doing our show, and I had like jobs that had been postponed over the pandemic were all happening like in the same month, I had to say no to a job that was shit anyway. And I remember it took me about a day before I replied, even though I knew what my answer was going to be, because I spent the whole day trying to work out in my head. I was like, well, maybe if I left early, half an hour early on this day, and if I didn't have a day off this week, and then I was like trying to like figure out how I could possibly fit it in. And I was like, oh no, I could just turn it down. Yeah. And then, and it felt mint afterwards, because I was like, oh yeah, this is great. I don't know if I would do that. Yeah, there's so much, but I need to remember that, like, it actually felt really good to say no to that situation.
There's so much power in saying no to things.
Yeah, like I'm the same. I'm starting to kind of be a bit more choosy about the things that I take on, because I'm aware that I've actually only got so much energy. I've only got
time
so much
precious.
Time.
Yeah.
And I'm not obligated to take it all on. But each time you say no, it's like practicing it. Yeah. It's not like you do it once and you're like, oh, I'm brilliant at that now. Like it's a skill that you genuinely need to like. Yeah. You need to keep practicing. You need to keep reminding yourself that you owe it to yourself. Mm. You know what I mean?
Also, like, there's something about it, like, that kind of makes you seem a bit more desirable. Like,
oh yeah,
which is what I wasn't expecting. I was like, because I thought the professional thing would be to do was to take every single job that is possibly offered to me.
Yeah.
But actually, that's not true at all. Like, when you turn something down because you're busy with other things, like, it makes you feel like you've got more going on.
A friend of mine has a friend, and
good for her.
Doing really well. But her friend, my mate, was saying how much she admires her because she just says no all the time and doesn't make up any excuses. So if someone's like, "Do you want to go for a pint tonight?" she'll be like, "No, I don't want to," and that's it. And it's so funny because I'm always like, I can't do it for these reasons. Then I make up loads of lies when you could just be like, oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
that. I think
that.
That's quite grown up.
I really like that.
I think as well, like, because if somebody said that to you, you'd just totally be like, oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I'd be bothered by that. No. I remember I had this amazing chat with someone at Whitley Bay Metro Station once, right? And it's somebody that I know, but not too well. And I think we all know that feeling of getting stuck on a train with someone that you sort of, you can chat to them, but not for half an hour, which is how long it takes to get into town. And I bumped into him on the metro station and we had a bit of a chat. And then when the metro pulled in, he went, well, I'm going to say goodbye now because I want to read my book. And I was like,
oh,
I love you.
That
is amazing because I want to read my book and I don't want to talk to you for half an hour.
Yeah.
And we just went and sat in separate carriages. And I was like, that was a perfect interaction.
Oh, yeah.
So actually, it's really refreshing when you're on the receiving end of that as well, when somebody...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, it's totally a thing of like taking ownership of yourself, isn't it? Because I think that feeling of like, I can't say no, it's packed up with like... I can't say no because I don't have a good enough excuse, or I don't have, I'd need to explain like maybe personal reasons why it's no, or I'd need to kind of justify it.
Mm.
And that all comes from a feeling of like, actually that you owe an awful lot to the people around you. I think sometimes you end up like feeling like you owe way more to the people around you than you do to yourself. Yeah, I think like just flipping it is such a healthy thing, and realizing actually you owe quite a lot to yourself, and quite not quite so much to other people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, obviously, you know, you want to, when I say you don't owe quite so much to other people, I don't mean like in a horrible way. I mean, like, everyone's obviously owed, you know, respect.
Not everyone.
Not everyone. That, but you know what I mean? Like,
You don't need to have a reason for not wanting to do something. You can just be like, I don't want to do that.
That's a reason in itself, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I always feel like, I don't know, like, I've got a few friends where they've been really stressed about things that are upcoming in their schedule, like work and stuff like that. And I've been like, oh, it'll be all right, it'll be all right. And then, like, I'll see them, like, a little time after, and they'll be like, oh, no, it's all fine, because I rang me mum, and she just said I could just not do it, any of it. And she was like, so I didn't do any of it. And I was like, amazing. And it's like, oh yeah, like, just mom's being like, oh, we'll just don't do it.
I remember it like it was yesterday. The worst day of my life was me mom's 60th.
Happy birthday, Sue.
Why, thank you, Linda.
This is something from me and Gary, just to treat yourself for a change.
Oh, a spa weekend at Warrington Hall. That is so kind, Linda. Thank you so much.
And my world came crashing down. And to think, if my Auntie Linda hadn't quit Avon, me mum would have got the usual lip gloss and bronzer. But instead, my mum received something I couldn't handle. Time to excel. As the weekend drew closer and mum began to pack, I questioned whether I'd live to see spring. She told me not to worry, that she'd leave meals in the fridge. Stupid bitch. What good were meals when I didn't know where she kept the oven? Feeling abandoned and void of hope, me mates rallied around us.
Well, this is what happens. You turn 25 and suddenly you mean nothing to them.
I've been there, mate. Do you remember when my mum won that trip to Lanzarote in the raffle? She were gone for 10 days and she expected me to wake myself up every day for work. But do you know why I'm standing here today? I downloaded Rent-A-Mom.
Rent-A-Mom? That's just for orphans, isn't it?
No, it's for men like us. Let me explain.
And so he explained that Rent-A-Mom is a tailored service that connects you through comprehensive filters to a network of mothers.
You know where the big spoons are kept, but you're not sure what setting to do your washing on. Annette, 54, from Aylesbury, is on hand and ready to catch the next train. You can heat up pasta in the microwave, but you need someone to make your dippy eggs on a Saturday morning. Wendy, 42, from Inverness, is happy to butter your toast. Able to turn the shower on, but need reminding it's your nana's birthday and time to get a record. Why not try Melanie, 58, from Milton Keynes?
And Rent-A-Mom know that sometimes it's not about the duties. Sometimes you just need reminding of that special lady who left.
Upload a photo of your mum to the app, and using our advanced facial comparison technology, we can sync you up with the most convincing match. You might tell your mum she can fucking well live at the spa if she wants.
Rent-A-Mom, available to download on iPhone and Android devices now. Rent-A-Mom is a free service, as all work is done from the goodness of their hearts. Terms and conditions don't apply.
My mate Leanne, when I was at uni, whenever I felt poorly and wanted a day off, I'd always go, we live together, go into her room and be like, I feel a bit ill today. And she'd be like, have a day off. And I'm like, okay. Like, she was like my mom.
It's so funny that
at uni,
you need to hear it from someone else before you feel like it's acceptable.
Which
is a bit sad, isn't it?
Yeah. And I actually noticed something over the pandemic is actually that I think it's a little bit of like a, I believe they call it a catch 22. I noticed that actually the more that I was resting and the more that I was taking time for myself, the much better I was at communicating my boundaries and communicating like, oh, I think I can do that, but I don't think I can do this. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's a bit of a like a... it's almost like a catch 22 because as we've been like kind of coming back to work and stuff, and like we have had like a lot of work on, like especially us as a company, you know, like we did a show like the other month and now we've been doing this, and like I've actually found that yeah, it's like if you're not taking the time you need to rest, you find it far more difficult to use that skill or to practice that skill of setting your boundaries, of like communicating like what it is that you can manage and not being apologetic about that. Which, you know, yeah, and like the frustrating answer is, well, actually that you just need to have a rest, because you'll be much better at communicating your boundaries once you've had a rest. I think also something I just want to say is that I have, I think my view of laziness has changed quite a bit, because me and my partner are quite different. I have always put loads on my plate and he has always not. Like, it's the best way I can put it. But as in like, I think there's been times where like, you know, and he would admit this as well, he hasn't sorted stuff when he's needed to sort stuff. But like the happy balance is actually like a little bit of a mix of both of us, because like, I think I definitely used to give him a little bit of a hard time for not utilizing every single minute that he had. And it's actually only like over the pandemic when I've realized that I don't need to utilize every single minute that I've had, that I've kind of realized like, oh God, actually, yeah, no, you had it a bit more right there. You realized that you only had so much energy in the day and you realized that you could only get so much done. So I guess I just want to give an apology out to him for always giving him such a hard time.
This one's for you. He had it right all along.
He had it right all along. But yeah, no, my view of laziness has definitely changed. Like, it's actually just not filling your entire day with tasks is actually not like being lazy. It's actually being quite sensible.
Yeah, and it's also like the quality of like how well you can do those tasks. If you've got like so many other things going on, like, what's that, quality over quantity?
Quantity.
All these
that well-known saying.
That well-known saying.
Well, no, yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, like how you're saying your view of laziness has changed. Because I think something that I've always struggled with is I tend to like agree to do a lot of work and then get annoyed that no one else is doing it. And I sometimes find it difficult. Well, this has happened within our company quite a few times. So I've been like, I'm the only one who does anything. And then I'm like, wait, I said I would do all of those jobs.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I find, hard to recognise when I'm like being relied on too much and when I've just like volunteered myself to do too many things. So sometimes when I see other people being like frustratingly lazy, there's like part of me that's like, but that's because you know someone else is going to pick up the slack for you.
Or someone else has volunteered themselves for it.
Like, I don't know, it's something that I struggle with when talking about boundaries and stuff, because I'm like, well, it's all very well and good somebody saying that they're only able to do this certain amount, but in my head I'm like, but does that mean someone else somewhere is having to pick up more work as a result? And obviously the balance is to not let that happen. But I think some people have this sort of like, well, it's learned helplessness, isn't it? Where they're like, I'm going to be crap and everyone's going to do stuff for me.
And I think...
Boys. Little brothers, that's what I'm talking about.
And like, I think sometimes in regards to like young lads, I think actually what's difficult is we certainly have seen a lot of like mams actually like just assuming that their young lads need help with that, so they just do it. And sometimes you're like a little bit stuck between like, well, is it the lad's fault for being lazy or is it the mam's fault for giving them the space to be lazy? And like,
But like, I definitely feel like I do that myself as well, when sometimes I'm like, well, if you want a job doing well, just do it yourself. Like that sort of thing where I'm like, actually, maybe if I just let the other person get on with it, it would be fine.
And even if they don't do it the way that you kind of think they should, at least it's been taken out of your hands.
I don't know. Like, I remember once watching my brother fold up a jumper and it took him about half an hour. And what he did was scrunch it into a little ball. And it was the most... I was like that. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing. Like, it was... It was insane. And like, you know, when you know, he's quite a competent young man. And I just watched him like fail this like incredibly easy task. It was bizarre. Yeah. And I'm like, are you doing this on purpose so you'll never be asked to fold something ever again? Yeah. Or are you really...
And you know
that embarrassingly bad.
What's the answer there? Do you take it out of his hands and do it for him, or do you stand over his shoulder and be like, okay, and now bring the left sleeve over the chest? Because like, either way, it's work for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, I'm the youngest of three sisters, and I feel like that crap boy a lot of the time. When I'm with my sisters, I revert back to being a child. In fact, like, they're always calling my baby niece Emma all the time, and I don't think that's a mistake. I think they literally see me as like a two-ish year old, and when they dream of me, I'm two. And like, but like, yeah, whenever I'm with them, I just can't function anymore, and I can't do anything. And they all think it's really funny because Freya's always like, can you believe Emma does a tax return? And I'm like, I know, every year I do something that's big, and I don't look like someone who can do that, and I don't behave like someone who can do that until I'm on my own, until I'm not with my sisters, then I crack on. But when I'm with them, I struggle. And that must be annoying to be around.
I guess there is something about reverting to your like younger self though in those situations. I definitely felt a bit like that when I was at uni. Whenever I came home for a visit, I feel like the minute I walked through my parents' front door, I'd just be like, you're looking after me now. I'm not doing anything.
I'm your responsibility.
Yeah. And you know, whilst I'd been away, I'd been like managing my money, washing my clothes, looking after myself, doing my studies, all of that. And then the minute I'd walk through the front door, I'd be like, I don't know how to do anything. Help me. Yeah. I need help. So I wonder if there's an element of that to it as well, where like, you know when someone is prepared to take the reins for you a little bit, and you just kind of like sink into it.
It's quite nice.
I wonder also like, I think it's also quite nice, maybe it's having a bit of a trade-off with people, that like people that you feel safe and comfortable around, that, you know, there's times where they can rely on you to sort some stuff, and there's times where you can rely on them to sort some stuff. And I think it's quite nice to know that there's people that you can do that with. I'm thinking about when we were doing the Cumberland show, and I think it was the end of the writing week. I felt like I'd just been so like busy and sorting all day, and I just hit a point where I was like, oh God, no, I really can't. I really can't be mature anymore. And I just went to Matilda, I don't have anywhere to sit.
In an empty room.
Matilda was like such an adult about it. She was like, okay, well, I'm just going to finish this email and then I'll be with you right in a minute. And I'll come back. Don't worry. And I was like, oh, thank God, I'll just stand here until someone's found me somewhere.
Yeah. Someone guided me where I need to be.
And like, I mean, like, you know, you never want to be a burden to anyone whatsoever. But there is something about being around the people that you love and knowing that you can, like, maybe it's just every once in a while, like, be a little bit
pathetic,
needy.
Yeah, yeah.
And just because I think also like as a company we do that for each other a lot. Like there's times where like one of us is just like, guys, I've reached my maturity level today. And we're able to kind of like give a bit of space for that for each other. And yeah, you know, I think that's, you know, I certainly do that with Jackson quite a bit.
We've heard.
Yeah. Putting you in the shower, carrying you to bed.
Yeah, it's a biscuit. So what do we think our Fanny definition of sloth is?
I think I'd like to remove the like shame around it. Like, if anything, I think everyone should be a bit more slothful.
Yeah.
I do as well.
Enjoy the stillness.
Yeah.
I think that, going off a little bit, but I really enjoy a nap. Yeah. And I feel like as a society, we should incorporate adult naps, into our day.
In Japan, don't they have...
they've got like sleeping pod
things,
don't they? Not because they're working themselves to death.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's more like in their office space, so they don't go home rather than...
Not desirable. But I think like I think productivity would go up if like everyone between the times of, not all at the same time, but between the times
the world
of, like,
went asleep, though, all the animals would come out and play.
Yeah.
But like they did in the pandemic, like when there was dolphins in Venice going down the canal.
And there was deer in Tynemouth.
That's what I mean. Everything would get better if everyone had a big old nap. And I think, like, between the times of like 12 and 3, if everyone just had like an allocated time for a nap, I think work would get better. Yeah. The environment would, you know.
Even if it didn't, if we were just all a bit happier, that's good enough reason to do it.
And like, we've often said that we are really jealous of Spain and their lovely siestas.
Fiesta, siesta, what more do you want? Tapas, wine. Well,
it's like how we all admire Katie's pace of life, because she's slow. Grew up in Spain and she doesn't like walking up hills. She doesn't like carrying stuff. Mm.
She'll get there when she's...
She always has a snack. She just doesn't rush anywhere. And
loves an olive.
Yeah, I think we could all take a lot of...
So, Fanny definition.
Nap more, be like Katie.
Nap more, be like Katie.
Have a fucking break.
Don't feel bad about just lying down.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, that's nice.
That's lovely.
Yeah, wherever you are.
Wherever you are. Oh, lovely. Well, thank you very much for listening, and have a lovely morning / afternoon / evening wherever you are listening to this. So, thanks.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Why did you gross?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Match Made in 7. That's it for this series. You can find the accompanying playlist to this episode and all other episodes on our Spotify. Just search Your Aunt Fanny. Catch us next at Live Theatre Newcastle from the 3rd to the 23rd of December in Bonnie and Fanny's Christmas Spectacular. As always, we're available at Your Aunt Fanny on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Sound design and music in this podcast by the brilliant Jeremy Bradfield.